Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 36. If you just follow along as I read, if you would. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask once again that you be with us this morning. Lord, I ask that you take what is said, what you've laid on my heart. For the folks this morning, we ask that you take it and use it. Lord, if we don't need it today, help us to take it and store it in our minds and our hearts, that in the next few days or weeks when we may have a need of these things, we can be reminded of them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. In the passage that we read, we see, as you notice, there's basically a story inside a story. You know, and the idea that you might have said, well, maybe you saw on the screen, said, man, he doesn't usually read that many verses, you know. But I thought, you know what, I wanted to read, get the whole view of that, of both story, you know, the whole story there with the one in the middle. And we're talking about Jairus' help, and the help that he had. And as we see in as we read the story, we see that he did need some help. He definitely did. And the good thing is he knew where to go to get it. And I guess even for us, the even better news there is that same help is available to us. We're going to look and see four things from the story that we can take. And as like I mentioned in my prayer, maybe we don't need it today. Maybe we won't need it in the next week or so, but there'll be a time in our lives, and it'll probably be sooner rather than later, where some of these things are going to need, if we apply them, it'll be a help to us. And we're going to look at those things, and we see, first of all, when it comes to Jairus, we see he had faith in his situation. Faith in his situation. We see that right off the bat, when we started in the scripture reading, we see that, what does it say? Behold, there come, verse 22, Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, fell at his feet. He had faith that Jesus could help him. What do we see? You say, we see proof of that. We see that he fell at his feet. We see that, what does it say in verse 23, and besought him greatly. You know, it wasn't, he didn't come to him and kind of like casually ask him, Jesus, you think maybe possibly you could, you think you'd be able to help me with this? You know, I just thought I'd come over and run it by you. No, he knew that if he could get Jesus involved, Jesus could help him. You know, there are folks that that you don't trust. You know, there are those that, they don't trust doctors. And if you know my dad for any length of time and hear him talk about doctors, you realize he's one of them. He's very skeptical of the doctors. And he's dealing with his shoulders now, and he's kicking that around, getting those worked on. And I guess I have, obviously, I pray about it, and I pray that God gives the doctors wisdom, and to help me. I've been dealing with my knee for some time now, and that's ongoing. And I don't think that my faith doesn't rest in the doctors, but it's like I pray that God helps the doctors and gives them wisdom. And I think my dad, he's not he just doesn't trust them pretty much. He's known a couple doctors in his life that he's trusted, and he'll talk about it. He'll talk about it. There's one that was over in where's he over in Cherville. They helped him with his carpal tunnel one time, and he liked that doctor. If that doctor could help him with his shoulders, he probably would have had his shoulders done a long time ago. But the thing is, some people don't trust doctors. As the cliche goes, no one trusts lawyers. There might be some people you don't trust. You might say, well, my Uncle Henry, or don't trust that fella. And, maybe you have a relative that does not deserve trust. But you know what? We can trust Jesus. We can trust. He's trustworthy. He's worthy of our trust. Couldn't help but, those of us who are saved, we could go around the room and tell, remember that time when we trusted him for our soul's lost situation. And we could tell when we got the story of where we were and when we got saved and the situations around surrounding that. But if you're saved, there was a time where you trusted him for salvation. And we can trust him in our situations that we face in life also. Jairus had faith that Jesus could help him in the situation. And you know what? We can trust him also. And we need to have that faith that, the situation doesn't look good and it looks pretty dark. And I don't know how we're going to get through it. But with God's help, we can do it. You might not even, when you can't even see how you're going to get through it. You can't see the end of the tunnel. But we can have faith that he'll help us in our situation. Jairus had that faith. And we need to have faith in him too. We had faith that he could save us. We need to have faith that he'll see us through every step of the way. He had faith in this situation. Not only that though, we see in verse 24, he had a companion in his affliction. It says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. He told them about his daughter, and they were going to see her. They were heading back. We see that, what does it say? And Jesus went with him. He had a companion in his affliction. Remember Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not only do we need to have faith that it'll help us in our situation, we got to realize that we have a companion in our affliction. Jairus had a companion. They were walking back. And as we're traveling down the road and we're dealing with an affliction and our hearts are heavy and we're not, you know, sure how we're going to get through it. We're carrying a load. Guess what? There's one that'll help carry the load with us. You know, it's always nice when you're having a problem. Or dealing with maybe it's something like at work, and you're trying to do a task, and it's not one that you really want to do, but to have somebody go with you. Yeah, that's always nice. That always kind of lightens a little, makes it just a little bit easier. It makes that difficult task a little easier to get through. And I think you'll agree, you know, that companions, they're nice in good times. But they surely are a blessing in the bad times. You know, if you have somebody go along when things are going well, you know, well, that's nice. That's enjoyable. But, you know, maybe you're feeling a little bit down in the situations of life are weighing on you. And you have that companion to help and help lift you up a little bit. Help you carry the load. What a blessing that is. We see that he had a companion in his affliction. We see that his daughter was sick. He said, sick unto death. But you know, he was feeling that pain. The you know what, my daughter's sick, and you know what, she might die. But if I can get Jesus to her, you know, I hate seeing her in that state, and it breaks my heart. But you know what, if I can get Jesus there, you know what, he'll be able to help me. He'll be able to help take this affliction from me. Maybe you're dealing with the affliction of maybe a financial setback. Or, you know, just work pressures and the situations there aren't what you consider optimal. Or maybe you argue and you bicker at work and you have conflict all day at work and you go home and fight with your wife at night or your spouse at night. Whatever the affliction is, he can help you with it. He had faith to help him in his situation. He had a companion in his affliction. But not only that, we see in verses 35 and 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Wait a second. I feel like Sam in Sunday school now. I jumped down two verses. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? We see he had a comforter. In his devastation. He had a comforter in his devastation. You know, there's times where having that companion is good and it does help. But there are times during devastation where we need that comforter. We need the comforter. And he had a comforter in his devastation. Jesus was there to help him. You know, we all experience that affliction. You know, the problems of life and the situations we have to deal with and different things along those lines. But then there are some times when we deal with faced with devastation. I think of an example of a loss of a spouse. Monday at the funeral, I read a letter that Karen wrote to have read at the funeral, and talked about how her and Gary, a while back, they were sitting there and they were started to maybe feel sorry for themselves a little bit. How that the golden years weren't turning out quite like they had planned. And unfortunately, it seems like that happens a lot of the times. But then they started thinking about all the blessings. In fact, in the letter she mentioned, they started quoting Count Your Blessings, the song. And then they started going through and counting the blessings. And a few of them were recalled in the letter. But the thing is, that wasn't their plan. They weren't planning on Brother Gary passing away at that time. But the loss of a spouse, that brings devastation. Maybe it's a broken home. The idea that I heard tell of a family who was a distant friend of ours. They were married, over 20 years. They had several kids, and he decided to walk out. Somebody mentioned to the wife, looks like you're losing weight. And she goes, yeah, that'll happen when your husband walks out on you. And what a devastating situation she was left with. Or maybe it's your heart broken by a child, maybe through their addictions, or whatever it may be. Or we see even it's in our story here that he said, if I could just get Jesus there, he'll help me with my affliction. And he gets there, and they're saying, hey, she's dead. And how devastating that news must have been to him. But he had a comforter in his devastation. And I'm here to tell you today, you have a comforter that you can go to, and a place where you can get comfort in your devastation also. Yes, it'll hurt. And yes, that it'll take time for that to kind of work your way through it. And no, it might that scar will never go away. That pain might, it'll just, the pain will ease. But you have a comforter to help you through it. He's there for you. He had a comforter in his devastation. And we do too. But then as I going through the story, and I mentioned before the story within the story. We see also that he had a Savior and his attention. He had a Savior and his Savior's attention. Notice in as we start in verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. You know, they wanted to see him. And then in verse 25, we see, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. There were people all around him. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to spend time with Jesus. And the woman with the issue of blood, she knew that if she could get to Jesus and just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. Here's all these people. They wanted to spend time with Jesus. And Jairus, what did he want to do? He needed to get to Jesus too. His daughter, she was dying. And you see that, and I couldn't help but see the fact that all these people wanted to spend time with Jesus, but Jairus, he needed to see him too. And Jesus took time for him. Jesus gave him his attention. You see, he started going with him, and then the woman touches him. But, you know, they were making their way, his way with Jairus to his house. And now that, although that all those that wanted to see him, he still took time for one man. And how that you know there are times when we're talking to him, you know that we have his attention also. You know, many there's time I think we've all probably are guilty of it. Maybe you start doing something or you're talking to someone and someone interrupts and you're like, oh wait, excuse me, I got to go take care of this. Or you know, let me call you back or something like that. You know what? When we take it to the Lord, and He gives us His full attention. You know, it doesn't matter if we're in an affliction. You know, there's something that's hurt, heavy on our heart, and it's hurting. Or if we're in a devastation, He gives us His attention then also. But you know what? Even if it's just in conversation. Even if you go to him and say, you know, and just talk to him, and you start praying, and you just want to maybe spend some time telling him you love him and thanking him for all that he's done. You know, one of those maybe like a phone call is like, I'm just calling to see how you're doing. You know, maybe you tell a friend or a family member that. Even if you're just going to him and you just to talk to him. What is the song? The song says, and I'd have to think about, I'd have to sing the whole song through. But commune is friend with friend. He's there for you. And he'll give you, he's willing and he's waiting to hear from you and give you his attention. You know, he's not going to, you know, in we'll put you on a schedule. You're like, well, you know, Jesus can give you his attention a week from Thursday. He's there for you. He's there for us when we're facing the affliction, when we're dealing with the devastations, or when we just want to talk, just conversation. He's there for us, and we have his attention. He's always there, and he'll give you his full attention. But do we go to him? Do we have faith that he can help us? Do we believe that go to him and get the comfort that's available to us? All that and more is available to us. We can face the devastations of life with him. But if there's never been a time that you've trusted him, if you're not one of his children, how sad that is. You have to face the afflictions and the devastations all on your own. But if there's been a time when you've asked him to come in your heart and save you, and you've trusted him, then you can go to him, and you have. It might not be easy, but he's there with us every step of the way. We can go to him.